Well, good morning, Conqueror Sunday School class members. This is your teacher, Brother Ray Shutt, coming to you again this morning with another lesson from our comeback, God's Providence in Motion series. Today, we will be on lesson number 9, which is entitled Behind the Scenes Preparation. We finished the book of Ezra last Sunday, and today we begin in this lesson in the book of Esther. Esther chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, and we're going to go through Esther chapter 2, verse 20. Today's Conqueror Sunday School class lesson is for Sunday, June the 20th, 2021. And right now, I have a very special announcement to make for each of you. On Sunday, July the 11th, 2021, we're going to be doing something we've not been able to do in nearly 16 months. You say, Preacher, what is that? Well, on that Sunday, July the 11th, 2021, at 9:45 a.m., we're going to be meeting back in Baker Auditorium for Sunday School. Amen? We're going to get to physically be here together once again for Conqueror's Sunday School class. And boy, I am looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to seeing your bright and shining faces. I'm getting excited about having a day that we can just fellowship in the Lord that morning and be in the house of God. And oh, how I hope and pray that you will be here. Make plans now to be here on Sunday morning, July the 11th, 2021 at 9:45 a.m. in Baker Auditorium for the first Sunday School class in 16 months that we've been able to have and enjoy here for Conqueror's Sunday School class. Boy, I'm looking forward to seeing you, all right? That's our special announcement. I hope that you'll be making preparations for that and invite someone to come with you. Let's make it a great day for the Lord as we come back and we're there enjoying fellowship together in the house of God for Sunday School. And also on this special day, let me say Happy Father's Day to all you fathers and grandfathers and even great-grandfathers that may be in our church and in our Conqueror Sunday School class. We thank you for being faithful unto God. And thank you for all that you do to teach your family to live for God. What a blessing it is to try to be a godly father. Now listen, men, let me remind you, today after the 10:45 service, Pastor is going to have for each of us something very special, and it is a Snickers candy bar. Amen. I think he gives the one with the nuts in it because we're nuts about the Lord. Amen. And we're going to get one right after the service. So don't miss your Snickers candy bar today when you come for church service on this special Father's Day Sunday. Amen. I love you. I appreciate you being part of this class, and we look forward to seeing you again this morning. Well, today's lesson again is entitled Behind the Scenes Preparation. Our lesson theme verse is found in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And there the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Today's lesson thought can be summed up in this one question. Am I truly trusting and obeying the Lord today? Am I truly trusting and obeying the Lord today? Have you ever wondered why certain things happen to you in your life that you seemingly have no control over or power to do anything about? Boy, I certainly have. And in each of our lives, there are circumstances that we simply do not and even cannot fully understand why they happened or even what good could ever come from them. But folks, I want you to understand something this morning. No matter what comes our way, God is still in control. And God, without a doubt, has a purpose and a plan for whatever he allows to come our way. I'll be the first to tell you this morning, there are times in which I simply do not understand what God is doing. And neither can I give a reason for why a certain thing happens the way it happens. But as the old song says, trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You see, the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk put it this way, back in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The Apostle Paul echoed those very same words when he wrote to those believers living in Rome over in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, declaring, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The psalmist David described what it means to place one's trust in the Lord also, as he penned these words in Psalm chapter 91, verses 1 through 8. Listen to these words. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou rest. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Divine providence is, without a doubt, that specific act of God's providing or preparing someone or something for his future use or divine application. Yes, divine providence is God's great and infinite foresight as well as his timely care, but particularly it is his active foresight of what is necessary for one's future use or with suitable preparation, one's fulfilled purpose in this life as well as in the life to come. Noah Webster once wrote, how many of the troubles and perplexities of life proceed from want of providence? In other words, if you and I got our way instead of trusting God to lead us in his way, we may never come to realize what could have been in our lives for the glory and honor of God. Now that's truly something to consider this morning. And when you and I sometimes least expect it or even begin to understand the situations we encounter and have to pass through in this seemingly meaningless life, we will find God hard at work in behind the scenes preparation. He's doing it for something far greater in our lives than we could ever expect or hope to come to pass. And as we know to be true from today's lesson theme verse, we come to see and better understand that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What a blessing it is to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, with all that said, I want us to look at this lesson today in our comeback series, God's Providence in Motion. And I want us to look at this lesson today from the Old Testament book of Esther entitled Behind the Scenes Preparation. As we switch in this series from the book of Ezra and we enter into the book of Esther, I want us to consider the historical setting for the book of Esther. Now, as we've already seen and studied in the book of Ezra and in other Old Testament accounts concerning all that was going on in the lives of the children of Israel as they were so wonderfully delivered from 70 long years of Babylonian captivity for their past rebellion and sin, God sent them on their way to rebuild the temple of Almighty God. And now we're introduced to an account in Jewish history that so mightily, yet so quietly reveals the ever-present and ever-provident hand of the sovereign and almighty God of Israel, the great I Am, the all-sufficient one, who time after time proved himself to be the one who is indeed able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's my God. Amen. And this little book of Esther, I want you to understand something. We find no mention or writing of the name of the Holy One of Israel. And yet, we see his very presence in every aspect of this historical account in the lives of God's specially chosen and peculiar people, the Jews. We have seen how that God's people ended up being in a land where they were not supposed to be, and under the rule of kings and authorities to which they should have never had to be subject to. Yet, through it all, we see how God had a plan. And we see how that God so divinely worked his plan. And the interesting thing about it is, between the time in which God's people were held in captivity by the Medo-Persian Empire and the time in which a small remnant of Jewish men and their families who, by faith, chose to leave the comfort of their captivity homes in Babylon in order to fulfill God's purpose and plan in rebuilding and restoring the temple that sin and rebellion had torn down and destroyed, we see those things recorded right here in the book of Esther taking place. It's here in a place called Shushan, where most of the Jews had decided to stay, that the story of Esther now takes place. And it's demonstrating once again the great love and the great care that God still had for his people, and how that when they neither realized nor recognized that fact, God's mighty providential hand of love was at work behind the scenes. He was there in the shadows of the captivity, preparing the way for his people to once again be in the land that had been promised unto their fathers before them, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And it was all because of God's great love for them, and because of the promise that God had made unto them so many centuries before, that God was faithfully at work behind the scenes, both in Shushan as well as in Jerusalem, to preserve his people alive and to safeguard the promise that he had made unto them as his chosen people. What a great story this truly is, and what a great God that we serve today. And while we will never see his name in print in this book we call Esther, God's fingerprints and God's providence and God's mighty hand are seen all throughout this story. The Apostle Paul summed up the mighty and oftentimes invisible hand of God at work in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls in this way in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. He wrote these words, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who had known the mind of the Lord, or who had been his counselor, or who had first given to him, and it should be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And you know, The same can be said of God even as we read the book of Esther. I want you to see this in our lesson today. I want your heart to be stirred, and I want you to see how that God is at work in your life, Conquerors class member, even when you don't understand what you're going through. Even though you don't know why the things are happening the way they are, God has a plan. And all I'm asking you to do today is to trust Him and obey Him. Let God work His plan in your life today, all right? Now let's look at this. We've seen the historical setting for the book of Esther, but I want us to see what got the ball rolling and how God used a defiant queen, as we read here in Esther chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1 and going down through verse number 22. Here we see how all this came to pass in a great festival and feast. Now let's read here in Esther chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus," this is Ahasuerus, "which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was at Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and servants. The power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces, being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even in 84 days. That's 180, folks. And when these days were expired, when those days came to an end, the Bible said, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver, upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel. For so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also, Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus." Now this great king Ahasuerus was also known by his Greek name, Xerxes. And his kingdom compassed some 127 different provinces, stretching all the way from India to Ethiopia. In his third year of reigning from throne, this king was in preparation for war against the Grecian armies. And so he brought all of his nobles and all those leaders of all those provinces together for planning, and then for festivities that lasted some 6 months, 180 days according to the scripture that we just read. So now, at this 6 month long festival, as it was about to end, the king is found here holding a final feast that would last for another 7 days, as we see in verse number 5. And of course, there was much drinking and celebrating going on during that time. Now, according to verses 6 through 8, everyone could drink as much or as little as they wanted to at this feast time. The Bible said, "Therefore, so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure." Whatever pleased them, that's what the king told them to do. It was at this time also that we read in verse number 9 that also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. And it was at this time that there was a great husband and wife fight. I mean war, folks, came in this household. Look at verses 10 through 22. Here the Bible says in Esther chapter 1, verses 10 through 22, "On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he called Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcas, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with her crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment, and the next unto him was Carshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsena, and Mamukan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, and which sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law, because she had not performed the commandment of King Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Mamukan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes, and to all the people that are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husband in their eyes, when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it may not be altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus. And let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both the great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes. And the king did according to the word of Mamukan. And he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should rule in his own house, and it should be published according to the language of every people. Boy, in that day, sad to say, those kings treated their wives simply as an instrument of pleasure and delight. But when the king Ahasuerus summoned his wife to come and display herself before all those drunken nobles and province leaders, the queen refused the king's summons, and she said no. And you know what? I say good for her, amen? This queen held a higher regard for her position and her reputation as the queen, as well as her own personal integrity, obviously, than this drunken king ever did for his own wife. And she adamantly refused to openly display herself to this horde of drunken men. And I say, good for you, Queen Vashti, good for you. But this did not go over well with the king, who saw himself as literally being a god and a lord over anyone and everyone in his kingdom, including his wife. And he would not take this type of answer lightly, especially from his own wife. So picture all this in your mind. As this wild and this infuriated king now seeks counsel from his drunken lords and noblemen as to what to do about this woman who has so openly embarrassed him before the leaders of his own kingdom, even as we read there in verses 12 through 15. And while everyone is looking around trying to figure out what they're going to do, one man named Mamukan speaks up. And in verses 16 through 20, he suggests to the king and to all the leaders there with him that they make Vashti an example to all the other wives who may choose to do the same thing as she had done to her king, and that he should basically throw her out of the kingdom and find him another woman that would do whatever he commanded her to do. And in verses 20 and 21, we read these words, and the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Mamukan. And he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people, which now leads us to see the king's diligent search for a new wife. Look at it in Esther chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Here we find a diligent quest for a new wife for King Ahasuerus. Read with me in verses 1 through 4, Esther chapter number 2. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "Let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them, and let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti." And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now the term here in chapter 2, verse 1, after these things, most likely refers to about a 4-year period of time after the king had gone to war and been so preoccupied with so many of the political issues of his day. And now he's back at home in Shushan, and he's thinking about the way the battle had gone. And he's thinking about how lonely he actually is now without the wife that he had so once loved, but he had demoralized and even put out of the kingdom. He says, after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. To be quite honest with you about it, he's probably beating himself up for being such a drunken jerk about everything he had done against his wife. But you know, in all that happened, God was at work in this man's heart and in the plan that he had for getting Hadassah, or Esther, as we're going to find out, where she needed to be, and when exactly she needed to be there. So now, while the king is all depressed and downhearted, the Bible said, "Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, so that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them, and let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti." And as they took the king's mind off of what he had done to Queen Vashti, the Bible then says that the thing pleased the king, and he did so. So now the search begins for the most beautiful girl for the king. And that brings us now to verses 5 through 20, where we see how that God sends forth his delightful queen. Here in the home of a man named Mordecai, the story continues with Esther and her life in the home of Mordecai. Now look at verses 5 through 7. The Bible said, "Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah," that is, Esther, "his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter." This man, Mordecai, as we learn here, is a Jew that's now living in the city of Shushan, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. Now this man, out of family love and obligation, the Bible says, brought up Hadassah, that is, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful. whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. And even though the Bible tells us there in verse number 19 that this man Mordecai sat in the king's gate as one of the king's government officials, he still observed the Jewish ways of living, and he taught this young girl, his niece, the ways of the God of Israel. But both of their lives were about to change, as we find out in verses 8 through 15, and we now see Esther's life in the harem of Haggai. Jewish history teaches that more than 400 women were chosen as a prospective wife for the king, and that Esther, this Esther that we're reading about, was one of those who had been chosen for the king to consider. One out of 400, can you imagine? Before she was taken by the king's men to the harem where these women would stay, we see in verse number 10 that up until that time, Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And you see, no one knew that she was a Jew. So when she was taken, the Bible says in verse 11 that Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. And in verses 12 through 15, we read that when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king, and whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Sheazgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in into the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. And during that year's time, while the king chose none of those virgins that had been brought into him up to this point now, the unseen hand of Almighty God reached out and blessed the beauty, and he blessed the demeanor of this young lady named Esther. And in verses 16 through 20, we see how that she is chosen above all the others to become the king's wife and the new queen. And now we see Esther's new life in the house of King Ahasuerus. Look at verses 16 through 20 with me, would you? So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus in his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. The king had made his choice, but in all actuality, it was God who had made the choice for the king, and he had placed his faithful servant right where she needed to be at the exact time that she needed to be there. And folks, this story, so great as it is, well, if you'll come back next Sunday, I'll give you the rest of that story. Amen? Boy, does that get you excited? Listen, the point I want you to take this morning in this lesson is simply this, folks. God's perfect plans and God's divine purposes should never be taken lightly, even though many times you and I cannot see, nor can we understand how or even why or when they're actually taking place. And folks, when things happen in our lives that we just don't seem to understand, or we just can't figure out why God is allowing those things to happen, honey, listen to me. Just trust the Lord and continue to obey Him in all things. Why? Because as our theme verse teaches us this morning, we know, K-N-O-W, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Child of God, love the Lord today. Amen. Keep your heart in love with Jesus. You see, God's providence not only reaches way back into our past, but honey, it also reaches forward into our future. And when we allow the past troubles and trials of our life to so cloud our vision for the future and even our love for the Lord, we are actually throwing our doubts and fears upon God's unseen hand of work in our lives as He molds us and makes us into what He would have us to become through those troubles and those trials. Don't let the troubles of the past cause you to be mad at God today so that you cannot be used by God in the future. Why? Because as Romans 8:28 reminds us, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Folks, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. My goodness, what a great lesson this story is going to be. Behind the scenes, preparation. God is at work, folks. He's been at work all through this COVID situation. He's been at work in your life for years and years and years so that He might make you to be what you can be today for His purpose and His plan. Don't get mad at God. Don't quit. Don't turn your eyes away from God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Child of God, keep your eyes on Jesus. Trust Him as He works in your life today. Don't let fears and doubts cloud your vision or cause you to lose your faith and trust in God's perfect plan for your life. Let your love for God who has saved you, let that be your motivation and your main thrust, even in the difficult times, to simply continue to trust and obey the Lord God, who definitely has a purpose and a plan for your life, and who is constantly working behind the scenes to fulfill that purpose and that plan in such a way that will bring glory and honor unto Him that no other way could be done. Then, folks, listen, you know, there may be somebody today that's listening to the sound of my voice, and you have never been saved. My friend, don't turn God away. Don't get mad at God. I've talked to people that said, well, God did this, and God didn't do this, and God didn't answer my prayer, and I just don't have any need for God. Listen, you need God more than you could ever think you need God. If you're not saved today, you need to be saved. Why don't you turn unto Jesus? Look in His wonderful face, and the things of this old earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. If you're not saved, come to know Christ today. Place your faith and trust in Him today. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Come in your heart and save you. And folks, He'll do it if you'll do it yourself from a humble heart, and you'll pray and ask Him to. The Bible said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, I love You today. And God, though I cannot understand all the things that's happened in the past in my life, I don't understand why certain things have come to pass. Lord, I'm thankful, God, that You use those things to bring me where I am today. And Lord, had it not been for Your great hand of providence upon my life, I shiver to think where I might be today. But God, I want to say thank You. I want to say thank You, God, for leading and for guiding and allowing me to trust You so that I might be in Your perfect will even as I am this day today. Lord, thank You. I pray now, God, for those that are listening. First of all, to our class members, to those Christians that are listening today. God, they have been going through heartaches and burdens and trials. And God, they just don't understand why they're having to go through all these things. God, help them, Lord, today to trust you. And Lord, not only to trust you, but Lord, to stay obedient unto you out of a heart that is filled with grateful love. And then, Lord, I pray for those that may be listening today that are not yet saved. And I pray, Lord, that you would so stir their heart to see their need of a Savior that they'll bow upon their knees right now. And God, they'll ask you to forgive them of their sin and ask you to come in their heart and save them before it's eternally too late. Oh, God, bless this lesson to the glorifying and honoring of your name. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, thank you for joining us today for this lesson from the Conqueror's Sunday School Class Lessons Online. It was entitled Behind the Scenes Preparation from the Book of Esther, Chapter 1 and Esther, Chapter Number 2. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday at this same time. And also on this special day, let me say Happy Father's Day to all you fathers and grandfathers and even great-grandfathers that may be in our church and in our Conqueror's Sunday School class. Now, listen, men, let me remind you, today, after the 10:45 service, Pastor is going to have for each of us something very special, and it is a Snickers candy bar. Amen? And we're going to get one right after the service, so don't miss your Snickers candy bar today when you come for church service on this special Father's Day Sunday. Amen? God bless you until we see one another again.